The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast and live on video, it's John Mayer, mining analyst, part of SP Angel. And John there in his shirt, just began his shirt off to show me his scar. Ooh, his clavicle. The clavicle, by the way, is a collarbone. It's not anywhere lower than that. But how are you feeling, John?
Oh, so much better. I'm full of titanium and I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I wonder if it's almost like titanium. It seems like something from Superman, doesn't it? He's been injecting titanium. but do you set off alarms now in the airport and stuff?
I'll be setting off everything.
Yeah, just with your charisma.
Sorry,
my charisma's fizzing. Setting off all the alarms. I'm radioactive with a good old...
We have to be very careful on site visits not to touch anything... Where there were explosives, because otherwise we really do set off all the alarms in the airports.
Wow. Okay, well, listen, commodities, you said, had a good week this week. But I'm looking here, and I can't really get the lithium price, spot price or anything like that, or futures. This is a future thing. I'll share the screen with you. And you can see there, it's a little line. If you see that, maybe if I put this on, this version, an area chart... There we are. You see, it's come down. Is that right? Is that the right price, John? I'm looking at there because it's showing that it's gone from 85,000 down to 13,000. Is that right? 13,150. Is that all right? This is lithium hydroxide. Is that right?
Yeah, so there are different types of lithium that are traded. You have spodumene that's about $1,200 a ton. That's the raw material. And some of that gets turned into hydroxide, generally by the guys in Chile. Who are turning that straight from lithium brines, or the more commonly, you produce a lithium carbonate, which again is about $14,000 a ton, and that's then used by the battery manufacturers. So the different types of car battery use different types of material. The more energy dense NCM battery chemistries, which are in fact are being more and more used, tend to use carbonate. And the hydroxide goes into lithium iron phosphate batteries, which is what BYD are producing a lot of. They're good batteries, but they're a bit heavier. They've got less energy density, but they're much cheaper to produce. And which that's one of the reasons why BYD can produce such cheap cars. I mean, they are doing an electric vehicle brand new for under $10,000 a vehicle now. And that's a hell of a price.
That will capture the market, won't it? That'll grab market share, let's be honest, because that's the problem, isn't it? There's two issues with electric vehicles, as far as I can tell. And that's one, they're quite expensive, and secondly, it's range anxiety. But for 10,000, you'd just buy that for a run around town, wouldn't you? Because most journeys, I think about 70% of journeys are less than 5 miles, something like that. So if you know, that's the kind of car you do that for. By the way, there's an interesting company. Yesterday, it shot up. On the exchange, it's called, and this may be of interest to you. Gillen. What are the stocks I'm looking for? Sorry, Gillian or Gillian. Let me just put this back to candles. Look at this yesterday, right? It went up 70-odd%. Today, it's up 7%. Now, I don't know if you know what they do, but they are in. Doing new batteries and did a test, a lithium sulfur high energy density milestone. They're only at like they're now at 35 million. They were sub 20 million market cap, but the Anglo-Australian battery innovator announces an update on its next generation. They bought this out of Johnson Matthey, the IP for this, but they've tested it. The results represent a 60% increase in energy density compared to current lithium-ion batteries. So have you heard of that before, John?
Not only have I heard of it, I've actually been to see these batteries being made. It's almost certainly the old Oxis Energy battery chemistry. And in fact, on the display behind me, I have one of their dummy batteries.
What is companies? Gillian?
It's almost certainly the same battery. It's the Oxis were making lithium sulfur batteries with pure metal strips, lithium strips in them, and they were making that down in Oxford. So yeah, it's great technology. It has fantastic energy density, really good for things like light aircraft or probably supercars. Quite expensive batteries to produce, but you know, you can, when you automate these things, the costs can come right down. We have been reading in the battery press, of which there is a lot these days, that this is one of the ways to go. So you can massively increase the density of a battery whilst reducing its weight. And therefore, the battery pack for a car can be an awful lot smaller. It's just a question of getting the production processes right if you're going to use pure lithium metal, because you've got to do that in an inert atmosphere or within an atmosphere where there is virtually zero humidity, because lithium will catch fire if it comes into contact with water.
Yeah, well, I mean, the chart looks impressive there. So did you say this? Or sorry, is it the same technology or same company you're looking at the battery you've got? So are you saying that other companies are around doing this as well?
Well, Oxis got, I believe, was acquired by Johnson Matthey. So I think it'll be the same
technology. They bought that IP of Oxis. Okay, I got it. Okay. Yes. All right. I mean, look at the chart there. Right? It's very impressive when you look in a matter of weeks. But when you scroll out, so it IPO'd pretty much at 157. And even with yesterday's rally and today's rally, it's 28 pence. But it's early stages. But like I said, these things, you know, commercial execution, always difficult. But it's nice to see they've got a good test ahead of them there. And they're looking like, yeah, Oxis Gen 2 technology. That's right, acquired from Johnson Matthey. That's right, it's called Oxis Gen 2.
Well, we always thought this was a really good technology and something that really should have been taken forward. So great to see a new management team in there pushing it.
Yeah, and they say a wide range of global applications, including electric vertical takeoff and landing, aircraft, drones, electric vehicles, and stationary energy storage. As a high watt kilowatt translated to higher batteries, but density of energy. Okay, so anyway, that was GELN, if anyone wants to look at that. I'm sure they've got cash. The good thing is, at the moment, you know, with loss-making companies, you've got to have cash in this market, otherwise it becomes very hard. And they did raise some money. Where was it? Final results. No, they had some money that they raised. The placing down here, it was placing in November, and I think they raised about 4.5 approximately, wave issue. So there we are. I don't know how much cash they got left here, but interim results. So they did say here, raised 4.1 million in November. Where are we now, though? So if they raised 4.1 in November, okay, and they had, sorry about this, just scrolling down. They are burning a bit of cash, though. They are burning 4 million in 6 months. So, and they did have 7.4 then, okay, 11, okay. Well, they've still got cash, but so they've got cash, and that's why it's taken off. But is it, loss-making companies now, they've got to have cash, it's essential. I mean, how's placings working at the moment, John? Are people getting placings away or what?
Yeah, there still are placings getting done. In fact, it's been quite a busy first quarter for doing placings. Not huge, but certainly, I think everything we looked at, we managed to achieve, so it's quite nice. I mean, we always approach the market with a degree of caution and trepidation, and it's not a great market out there. There's no doubt about that. But there are investors who are looking for bargain prices, and that's the market we're in. It's a market for brave investors. It's not for widows and orphans, but valuations are at very low levels.
Yeah. So you mentioned commodities here. Gold's had a good run here, 2309 as we look at it right now. That's a good breakout. I mean, look at that there. The way I've drawn that line said, you know, it's had several goes from 2020, so several goes of convincingly breaking the 2000 level, but it's pulled back. Now it's done it. It's up above that. What's moving that, John?
This appears to be central bank buying. Many of the world's central banks have decided that gold is a better effective currency than the US dollar and things like that. And they seem to be, you know, if they were selling, they slowed their sales. And if they were buying, they seem to have accelerated their purchases. And that's just driving gold higher. So normally we tend, you know, I would have been looking for a move of maybe $150, $200 for gold. I think this is looking like a much larger structural move. And the market's going higher, and that's fantastic for gold mining companies.
Name one you'd like, John. It doesn't have to be small, it can be big, anyone you like.
I think Newmont Gold in the States, good company. Frankly, I think in the UK, Shanta Gold is a nice little company. There are a few around.
Newmont's not even, well, it's rallied a little bit off the bottom, but it's certainly not, it's Newmont Corporation, is that right?
Newmont Corp, yeah.
Yeah, so that's literally, it's still a lot of upside to come there because they're not, it's not really reflected, you know, it's, we're at not far off, well, $30 was the low back in Feb, and so it's 37, so it's a good opportunity there. Shanta, you reckon over here?
Yeah.
Okay, Shanta Gold. Well, oh, Shanta's starting to rally a little bit. There you are. So, you know, a low back in February 2022 of 6.95, six pence. But it's starting to rally, breaking above the 200-day. That's 14.
I think investors should look at Anglo-Asian Mining because although it's not a big gold producer, it has been relatively consistent over the years. It's had a problem with tailings dam permits in Azerbaijan where it works. I think that problem is going to get resolved in the near term. I don't absolutely know that, but I just have a feeling that's quite likely to be resolved sooner rather than later. They're also transitioning to become a copper producer in future years. So it does gold and copper, and I think it has a good future ahead of it.
Yeah. Well, in fact, look, it's come off a low here in October, and it's threatening to break through that 200-day moving average, which it hasn't done to the upside since back in December 2022. So you may see a base here, but a base case scenario there. Okay, marvellous stuff. Any other companies, John, worth mentioning? You've mentioned Power Metals. What's happening with them?
Yeah, they struck a deal with some guys in Saudi Arabia. They're going to do more exploration in that region. And they've also got a technology for the reprocessing of fly ash and catalysts, and hopefully that technology will help them recover all sorts of rare and wonderful minerals. So, that's looking quite interesting from a Power Metals perspective. I mean, they are a company with an awful lot of different exploration irons in the fire. Sooner or later, I think they're going to hit it big. It's just a question of sticking with it sometimes.
Yeah. You know, we said earlier, just then, you had a feeling about Anglo-Asian. You didn't know, but you had a feeling. Maybe that's to do with the titanium clavicle. Maybe it's picking up on, you know, signals somewhere.
Yeah, I could pick up Radio 4 as well.
yeah, exactly. Gives you a superpower. You're just standing at the bus stop and Radio 4 is coming out of your clavicle. So what the hell is that coming from? Okay. There was another one you mentioned. Codal. What's happened with Codal Minerals? Cod, ticker there. Is that a good rally? It's coming back a bit. What do you reckon?
The Codal Minerals, they're in southern Mali and they're pushing ahead with the development of the Bougouni lithium mine. They're being backed by Hainan Mining. Now, for many years, they were backed by another Chinese group called Sui Chin. And actually, Sui Chin, very nice people, good metallurgists, and very helpful to us in terms of explaining how it works how you get from spodumene into lithium carbonate. But unfortunately, Sui Chin have been edged out, and Codal Minerals have agreed to pay them $14 million to reacquire their offtake agreement. And then so Codal Minerals will then negotiate further with Hainan Mining in terms of probably selling that offtake to Hainan. Hainan have already committed $100 million and send the money over as well for the development of that lithium mine. They particularly like the quality of the lithium here in West Africa. So, that's good for Codal, and it's all pushing ahead. And so long as nothing goes horrendously wrong in Mali, I think that will be a good mine.
Yeah, Hainan. I like that name, Hainan. So you imagine sitting around at Christmas dinner with all the family, and someone says, and you work for Hainan, and someone says, "What are you doing now, you know, Justin?" "Oh, I work for Hainan." Hainan says, "Yes."
That's so bad.
It's the best I can come up with, John, at short notice. Okay, and Rainbow Rare Earth. They haven't talked about these for a while, but the share price is rolling over there. It seems to be very steeply moving down there. Why is that?
Look, I think, you know, they're going to have to raise some more money. That seems likely. I mean, they do have a commitment of funding from TechMet, Not quite sure how they unlock all that funding, because you know, when you've got money that's effectively coming out of the US government being funneled through a fund, there's always a few conditions being applied. But they produced 35 kilograms of material in the first stage of their pilot plant in Johannesburg. That material is being sent over to Florida, where TechMet are going to use it to test the second section of their plant. So that's where they do the really clever stuff to go from lithium, an intermediate rare earth product, not lithium, but it's rare earths, into rare earth oxides. So,
yeah.
Sorry about that. So those rare earth oxides are what gets you the full value for the rare earths. And rare earth prices, unfortunately, have been coming down for some time, like a lot of other commodities. They ought to be on the turn, but we haven't seen that yet. And it'll be interesting to see what the results from K-Tech are in Florida, to see what they, you know, are they able to properly prove that they can produce rare earth oxides in commercial quantities or in a commercially viable process using 35 kilograms of samples. So it's not a huge test. It's a bit larger than a chocolate bar, but it's at 35 kilos.
35 kilograms is a big chocolate bar, John. I don't know what size chocolate bars you eat, but with shrinkflation these days, you won't get one like 10 grams probably.
If you're lucky. No, 35 kilograms is about the same weight as your travel allowance in Emirates Economy Plus. So it's not an enormous amount, but it should be enough to give them a decent run at it and see, just check that they can produce rare earth oxides off those products.
Yeah. You're suggesting they'd probably put that in a suitcase and travel. I don't think Ryanair would allow that now. I think it's too much. So you couldn't put on a suitcase on Ryanair. I think you have to pay for it. But do you know what strikes me with mining? It's just the amount of processing needed. Because we all see the drill results and stuff like that. You see, you know, a certain amount of grams per ton. You think, per ton? When you see, you know, that's a lot of soil you have to go through to find, you know, a little bit of mineral, whatever it is you're looking for. And then you have to process it, and that's not straightforward. There's lots of chemicals involved. It just it's quite a complex, isn't it, a system, process.
Certainly for rare earths, it is very complex. In fact, for many industrial minerals, the processes are more complex than you really want to know about. For example, lithium, you go from spodumene rock, there are some samples behind me, into hydroxide or carbonate, and then that ends up in the battery. And yes, there are a whole series of processes to go through. So that's one of the things that we have to examine very carefully. So, for example, Empire Metals gave a good teach-in a couple of weeks ago on how they reckon they're going to convert titanite, where I think it looks like they have the world's largest ever discovery of titanite, how they're going to turn that into a titanium, or sorry, into a rutile type product, because rutile is a titanium mineral. And if they can convert that into rutile at, shall we say, relatively low cost, then they might have a workable project.
Yeah. It's amazing how they even discovered how to do this. Or even they could do it, you know what I mean? Just constantly experimenting, but I suppose that's human ingenuity, isn't it? You know, it's the kind of ingenuity that saw one man one day look at a horse and thinks, I'm going to get on that horse and ride it, and that's going to be a mode of transport for me, a wild horse. You know, go on, give it a go, mate, see how you get on. But then in the end, you sort of have horse races and betting, and industry grew up around it. So it's mad, isn't it? But how things evolve. But like I said, at one point, you know, some must have realised, well, this stuff we just found, this silver stuff, or whatever it is conducting, it can hold electricity, even before electricity was, you know, invented. It just amazes me sometimes. But the processing is so complex. You think there's so many different routes you can take where you come up with a false, you know, result, and you wouldn't carry on, but humans keep trying. So it is phenomenal. I'm constantly amazed. In fact, you know, if it wasn't for, in fact, it's quite appropriate, John, you have a bit of titanium in your body, you know, being in the world you're in, you have a bit of product within you.
Yes, well, indeed, and I'm very grateful for it, because I'd much rather have a bit of titanium than a lump of rusty steel, that's for sure.
Yeah, or a bit of wood. Yeah, we moved on from that. Marvellous stuff. Anything else with it? Did you say copper's rallying a bit? Is copper, you said, going up or not?
Copper's also having a good week. It touched $9,400 a ton. It's settled back a little bit. You look at, you know, electric vehicles use an awful lot more copper than combustion engine cars. And we saw in China a huge 80% increase in electric vehicle sales in March compared with February. Yes, sales were slow in February, but that's because of the Lunar New Year holiday that they all had. So I think the car showrooms were probably shut. Because January was good, February was poor, and then everything's taken off in March again. Now, some of that is because they relaxed some of the higher purchase rules in China. So there's a little bit of, shall we say, the government is helping sales forwards. And at the same time, China is producing more and more of these electric vehicles. And they're not just going to sell them into Europe. They'll sell them all over the world. And what's really interesting is countries like India, Indonesia, many other places, particularly in Southeast Asia, are actually buying electric vehicles in much larger numbers than we thought was remotely likely.
Yeah. But is it a case of, I mean, can China, you know, regarding health and safety, can they sell them over here?
Well, actually, the BYD cars appear to perform really, really well in the safety tests. Okay. So that's, yeah. So you can't knock them on that score.
No. Well, exactly. Knock him is the operative word there, because what you don't want is to buy a cheap car and it crumple like a paper car, just with the engine surviving, nothing else.
Okay. Justin, I'm going to correct you there. What you do want is a car that does crumple, because actually that's much safer for the passenger inside.
Is it? Volvo built tanks then, pretty much.
Yeah, unfortunately, tanks like Volvos were, historically, the old ones, weren't that great for the passengers. It's much better if you have a car that absorbs the energy of the impact.
Oh, yeah, crumple zone, isn't there? There's a crumple zone where it crumples around you, it absorbs the energy, and sort of leaves you hopefully intact. Is that right?
Exactly, you got it.
Yeah, okay. Marvellous stuff. Well, if you're made of titanium, John, it doesn't matter. You know, you'd be the only thing surviving. Maybe you should do that. No, on a monthly basis, just slowly get all your bones replaced with titanium. I mean, John, the $7 billion man.
I think my career as a crash test dummy is hopefully over for now.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous stuff, John, and we'll speak next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.